Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Open your Bibles, the Tanakh. We are going to study today from Nehemiah chapter 3. We are going to begin today with reading from verse 15 towards the end of the third chapter. A beautiful book of a man that was a real servant of God among our nation Israel, a man who loved so much his people and wanted to be a builder, the kind of a man that the Lord is able to raise from our midst to be builders among the people of God. May the Lord use us all to be those that are build and not tear down, those that want to be an encouragement to the people of God. So follow me. Nehemiah chapter 3 verse 15, "But the gate of the fountain repaired, Shallun, the son of Kolhoze, the ruler of part of Mitzpah, he built it, and covered it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Shiloach by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. After him repaired Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Beit Tzor, unto the place over against the sepulchres of David, and to the pool that was made, and unto the house of the mighty. After him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Beni. Next unto him repaired Hashaviah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavai, the son of Hanadad, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. And next unto him repaired Ezer, the son of Yeshua, the ruler of Mitzpah. Another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him, Baruch the son of Zavai earnestly repaired the other piece from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Eliashiv, the high priest. After him repaired Meramot, the son of Uriah, the son of Kotz, another piece from the door of the house of Eliashiv, even to the end of the house of Eliashiv. And after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. After him repaired Binyamin and Hashuv over against their house. After him repaired Azariah, the son of Maasiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Binui, the son of Hanada, another piece from the house of Azariah, unto the turning of the wall, even unto the corner. Balal, the son of Uzai, over against the turning of the wall, and the tower which lieth out from the king's high house, that was by the court of the prison. After him, Padayah, the son of Parosh, moreover the Netinim dwelt in Ophel, unto the place over against the water gate, towards the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoite repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out, even unto the wall of Ophel. From above the horse gate repaired the priests, every one over against his house. After them repaired Sadok, the son of Immer, over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalaf, another piece. After him repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. After him repaired Malachiah, the goldsmith's son, unto the place of the Netinim and of the merchants over against the gate of Mifkad and to the going up of the corner. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmith and the merchants. Now, I mentioned it in our study together, that when we study the book of Nehemiah, we would probably read chapter 1, we'll read chapter 2, and we will jump over to chapter 4, because there are too many Hebrew names in this third chapter. In a time when we read through the Bible, we don't take the time to read those difficult names and lists of people. But again, I would like to encourage you today, those of you that have not been with us in our previous message, we have already covered the first 14 verses of Nehemiah chapter 3. The whole third chapter of the book of Nehemiah gives us a list of Hebrew individuals from all over the land of Israel that rose up with a determination to begin to build the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates of Jerusalem, which were burnt with fire. Can you imagine the city of Jerusalem without walls or broken down walls and gates that are burnt with fire? The enemies could come in and cause a havoc among the people of God. And the walls were necessary to protect the people of Israel from the outsiders who will seek to harm them, but also to keep them in that enclosure, which keep them safe and protected by the Lord. And it reminds us as well for us, because you and I as believers today need those walls. And while we don't have to build physical walls, we are responsible to build, you might say, and to set up the walls of biblical protection for the life of each and every one of us as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Well, if you remember in a previous message, there are 10 gates that are mentioned here in Nehemiah chapter 3. Those 10 gates begin from the north. If you now look with me for a moment at this chart, 2 gates at the north, there are 2 gates at the west, 1 gate at the south, and 5 gates at the east of the city of Jerusalem. There's a great lesson, brothers and sisters, the importance of those gates and the names that God had given to those gates really represent for us the manner whereby even you and I can learn from those gates. What does those gates represent for us today as believers in Yeshua the Messiah? Let me just remind you quickly. The first one is the sheep gate. The second one is the fish gate. The third one is the old gate. The fourth one is the valley gate. The fifth one is the dung gate. Those first 5 gates already we covered in our previous meeting together. Those 5 gates represent before us the importance that we have as believers in the person of the Lord. He is represented by the sheep gate. He is the one who became the Lamb of God, which took upon himself the sin of this world. Then we talked about the fish gate. The fish gate represents to us the importance of going out fishing for men. I will make you fishers of men, Yeshua the Messiah said to Peter and James and John and so on, those early disciples from the land of Israel in Galilee. Then we talked about the old gate. And the old gate represents before us the ancient path. We are to stay steady with the truths that we have received from the Word of God. We can look at the Tanakh and the Brit HaChadashah, the old path that God had given our people of Israel. And now you can see a little bit of these gates as we are going through them today. Then we have the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate represented for us the necessity of going down in humility. We are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God if He is going to exalt us in due time. The Valley Gate also represented before us the importance of accepting trials in our lives. Sometimes the Lord takes His people through trials. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold. It's sometimes the trials, so the experiences, the suffering that we go in our life teaches us many, many lessons. You remember the psalmist of Israel said in Psalm 23, David said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because you are with me. God is with us when we are going through trials in our lives as believers. And finally, if you remember, we went through the Dung Gate and we were encouraged from the scripture to remove the garbage that is existing in the life of God's people. Through this Dung Gate, it reminds us of all the garbage that was taken out by the people of Israel through this gate and cast into the valley. And you and I also need the Lord to help us to remove the garbage that come into our life. Oftentimes, things creep into our life and we need the Lord to help us to cast this garbage through this Dung Gate. You and I need to do so on a regular basis. And you know very well how the world often seeks to creep into our life and how we need to remove the dung that is so easily creep into our life. Remember the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, the apostle said to the Hebrew believers, let us run the race with patience and set aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Sin creeps into our life so easily. The sin of disobedience creeping into our life, all sort of sins which come into our life, and we need the Lord to help us to cast our sins away. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul said to the brothers and sisters in Corinth, having therefore these promises, brethren, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we are now continuing on with the five final gates on the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem. So let's read verse 15. Verse 15 is gate number 6. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shallun, the son of Kolchoze, the ruler part of Mitzpeh. He built it. He covered it, he set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Shiloach, the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. Now this fountain gate is teaching us another important lesson. Well, if we are going to be successful in removing the dung that is so easily beset us in our lives as believers, we are also encouraged here from the scripture that we are to be guided and controlled by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God needs to lead us and to control us in our lives as believers. And I want you please to turn with me, first of all, to John chapter 14. Look what Yeshua said in verse 16. Notice that. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. In Hebrew it's called Ruach HaEmet, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be with you. The fountain gate of Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 15 represent the person of the Holy Spirit of God who is indwelling every believer. When we have embraced Yeshua the Messiah, when we have accepted Him as our Lord, our Savior, and our Mashiach, the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell a believer. But while the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer, we are not always walking in the Spirit. You know, many times we allow the flesh to take its course. Many times we are not living a life that is guided by Ruach HaKodesh. And because it's not so, we find ourselves failing the Lord. We don't have any liberties in our lives at times. In fact, sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians teaches us that. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit of God. First Thessalonians teaches us this. And yet we are believers. We have the Holy Spirit of God. The word for fountain represents the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. And because we walk not in the Spirit and we allow the flesh to take power over our lives, then we don't have liberty, no power, no energy, spiritual energy, even though we belong to the Lord. And so the fountain gate is representing the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the people of God. And how much we need to go through that fountain gate and to allow the Spirit of God to control us and to lead us in our lives. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "In whom ye also trusted," namely we trusted in Yeshua, "after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You see, every one of us have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We belong to the Lord, and yet at times we're not allowing Him to lead us in our life. We are sealed by the Spirit of God, but we are not to grieve Him. He is a person, a divine person, God, the Holy Spirit, Elohim, HaRuach. And for us as believers, the Lord is exhorting us not to grieve Him. And that fountain gate represents for us the movement of the Holy Spirit of God, where we can be used by Him and serve the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Turn with me to John chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14. Here are the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah to the Samaritan woman. He said to her, Yeshua answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You see what Yeshua is really saying to the Shomroni, to the Samaritan woman? The one that will believe on me, he will receive in himself the Holy Spirit of God. This is the fountain of living water. The Holy Spirit of God ought to guide us and to lead us and to instruct us in our lives. In John 7 and verse 37, Yeshua continued, and he is now specifically showing to us that the fountain of living water represents the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and he cried and he said, 'If any man thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters.'" And then the Spirit of God explained to us, what does he mean by that? It says in verse 39, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified." The Holy Spirit of God is represented here by the fountain gate. It's really a gate that was existing in biblical time in the city of Jerusalem. And the fountain gate represented the Holy Spirit of God, which you and I are to be guided by. Israel in a future day will be restored and the Spirit of God will open to them. But today, individuals like you and I who accepted Yeshua ought to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, in Galatians 5 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In Galatians 5, he continues and says, "Be led by the Spirit of God." You know, it's so wonderful to see a brother or a sister that walking in the Spirit, or a brother and a sister that are led by the Spirit of God. To see a believer that is being led by the Spirit of God, he or she will present before us the person of the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. They will show us more of the image of the Son in their lives. And that's why we are exhorted again and again to be filled by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. That fountain gate represents before us the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is very challenging for us because we are so easily inclined to walk in the flesh. In our Bible studies, we talked about it, how easy we allow the old nature to take its course. And what an encouragement it is for us to walk in the power of the Spirit of God. One more verse I'm going to connect with this here in our passage about the fountain gate that we can learn from that. Turn to Galatians 4 and verse 6. And I want you to notice that Paul says, "And because you are sons," and we can add the word daughters, "God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Abba, Avinu." Because we are sons and daughters, God sent into our hearts. Every one of us have in our hearts the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and we can cry, Abba, Avinu. Abba, our Father, help us in our life with the many challenges that we experience in our life. Now, you will notice from verse 15 all the way to verse 25, the gate was built, but also some parts of the walls. You notice in verse 15, they built the doors, the locks, the bars of the wall. They went all the way unto the pool of Shiloah. The pool of Shiloah, it's called in English Siloah, but in Hebrew it's called Shiloah. It's a pool that was existing there by the city of David. And that pool, if you remember the blind man in John chapter 9, Yeshua told him to go to wash his eyes at the pool of Shiloah. The word Shiloah in Hebrew means to be sent. And it really represents for us God who sent His Son, the Messiah, in order to heal the brokenhearted, give life to those that were without life, give hope to mankind. And you notice it was by the king's garden. It is the garden that David had. Then later on it says the stairs went down all the way to the city of David. The city of David is where David named the city of Jerusalem, the city of David. It's called even up till today, the city of David. And you notice further down in verse 16, the rulers of the half part of Beit Sur, he continue on unto the sepulchre of David. You notice in these two verses, you have David's garden, you have David's city, and you have David's sepulchre. David was the king of Israel, the one that God had raised to be the man after God's own heart. God raised him to be the king of Israel. He was the second king of the people of Israel. And notice in verse 17 that the Levites participate in that. Even the Levites. The Levites are the spiritual leaders of Israel. Even the Levites participated in the building of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Notice it says in verse 20, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, earnestly repaired also some pieces of the walls of Jerusalem. He was earnest in building. He didn't do it carelessly. He worked hard with sincerity of his heart. He was earnestly serving and building the wall of the city of Jerusalem. And ultimately they've arrived to the house of Eliashiv, the high priest. So you can see that even the high priest had to have the wall get all the way to his own house. And there you find others continuing to repair all the way until the next gate. We are right now at the Fountain Gate. There are those five gates on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. If you can imagine, there is the Mount of Olive, there is the Mount Moriah, right in between there is the valley. And when someone looks from Mount of Olives into Mount Moriah, he is really facing those five gates on the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem. The Fountain Gate represents before us the Holy Spirit of God, which will lead us and guide us and control God's people to continue on in the will of the Lord. Well, let's move down back to our chapter. We are now in Nehemiah chapter 3. And now we read verse 26 and 27. And that is the Water Gate. We read, moreover, the Netinims dwelt in Ophel unto the place over against the Water Gate, towards the east, and the tower that lieth out. After them, the Tekoite repaired another piece over against the great tower that lieth out over unto the wall of Ophel. And so you notice the next gate, this is gate number 7, is called the Water Gate. In Hebrew we call it Shar HaMaim. Apparently, there was some water flowing through this gate. Maybe it went through the gate or beside it. It is near the Fountain Gate.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.